I'm Marco Werman, and you're tuned to the world. It's Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. It is always a beautiful day when you can start the show talking about the beautiful game. The World Cup, the pinnacle of soccer competition, begins tomorrow in Russia. So we're going to dive into that right now and today's news that the U.S., Canada, and Mexico will jointly host the World Cup in 2026.
There has not been a three-country bid before, so in that way, it's precedent-setting.
Scott Wilson is a national correspondent for The Washington Post. For the next few weeks, though, he'll be focusing on soccer, or football, as the rest of the world calls it, and putting together the Post's first World Cup newsletter. I asked him how the joint North American bid came together.
The NAFTA bid, if you will, comes at a pretty interesting time. I mean, it came together before Trump. Trump did weigh in during the selection process and was chastised for it by FIFA officials. He was lobbying in particular the African countries to support our bid and telling them that if they wanted our continued help, they should get on board with the United bid, as it's known. We beat Morocco, was the runner-up for this, mostly because FIFA doubted that Morocco could get the infrastructure built in time.
Well, Donald Trump tweeted back in April, the U.S. has put together a strong bid with Canada and Mexico for the 2026 World Cup. It would be a shame if countries that we always support were to lobby against the U.S. bid. Things are different now, especially after the G7 summit in Quebec. Can soccer allies navigate around what are now national adversaries?
You know, it's a really good question. Keep in mind that 2026 is a year after a second Trump term would end. So he would have left office. FIFA did need some assurances that Trump's immigration policies would not hinder the flow of teams and fans into this country in 2026. Trump did write FIFA several letters saying there would be no obstacles to travel here. But that does just highlight the odd way in which the bid was seen geopolitically.
So if the U.S., Canada, and Mexico are hosting in 2026, they automatically qualify, right?
That's right. Of these three countries, neither Canada nor the United States qualified for this World Cup. Mexico certainly did and has a good chance of getting out of its group at least. But that is a positive in some ways that we'll certainly be there.
I got to say, though, when you look ahead 8 years, assuming immigration doesn't get a complete makeover by Trump, it kind of boggles the mind what the U.S. team might look like in 2026.
We're already seeing a really different U.S. team in the run-up to this World Cup. The team's young. It is Latino, but it's a mix. And, we'll see if the interest levels at the real basic youth levels of the sport will be drawing the best athletes into the programs. U.S. men's soccer is going to have to remake its recruiting and training program to some degree. They really haven't settled on the right way to go, whether it's a university-based model or a European-based model where you come through an academy. So, we'll see about all that. And as you said, immigration is going to have a big role to play in the kind of talent that will come through the system.
Anyway, the U.S. is not at this year's World Cup, which kicks off tomorrow, and we'll likely see international politics unfolding on the field, not just soccer. What are you going to be looking out for, Scott?
You know, a few things. It's Russia, obviously. So there are some obvious ones. What does Putinism look like? Even the first game has raised some eyebrows. Russia versus Saudi Arabia, by far the two weakest teams in the entire field. So how Putin got that matchup really is a question given FIFA's pretty suspect history with rigging decisions. Putin clearly knows his team is not going to win a lot of games. He'd certainly like to win the first one in Moscow and get things kicked off in the right way. But there are a lot of fun rivalries. Every World Cup usually has a moment or two of politics and history. We've got the Saudi-Russia Cold War history. So that'll be kind of a fun first day. But almost every match, you can do a little bit of that too.
You know, with the U.S. team not qualifying, I'm wondering if maybe you can handicap for us Americans a team we should be rooting for.
I think there are five that come off the top of my head, really. I mean, and it really depends what you're looking for. You can go in a political way, an underdog way, a style of play way, a personality way. Mexico's a fun team to root for if you're in the United States, because you're going to get a real flavor, an on-the-ground flavor of the World Cup. There'll be bars in every city full of fanatical Mexico fans. And that's always fun to hang out and watch games that way. They're also a fun team. They're always attacking, full of drama. You move to Argentina, right? And this is a sentimental favorite in some ways. They've won two World Cups. It's not like they're, you know, wanting. But, you know, arguably the greatest player that's ever played, Lionel Messi, as will likely be his last World Cup. And man, does he wear the international jersey like a hair shirt. It just is such a burden. He'd love to win this, and it'd be fun to see him win. Iceland, 350,000 people.
Iceland. Wow. I wasn't expecting to hear that.
Yeah. Half the size of the District of Columbia, the smallest country ever to qualify. And they have this great Viking chant that is just sort of heart-thumping. They're fun. And then Peru, not a single person on the team was born the last time they made it, another soccer fanatical country that can't wait for this tournament to start. And then finally maybe Egypt, right? You have the story of Mohamed Salah, who was the player of the year in the Premier League. He was injured in the Champions League final. Looks like he'll be able to play. I'm not sure if he's going to make their first game, but a great unifying figure and just a, you know, a joy to watch.
Yeah,
so those are a few that you could get behind.
Scott Wilson of The Washington Post, the first edition of their daily World Cup 2018 newsletter, is out today. Scott, thanks a lot.
Thanks so much.